Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Today's program was brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixon charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement. From chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the cooking gene, food and travel, and other upcoming food events around the country. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we have a call-in number. Our number here in the studio is 718-497-2128. We're going to begin today with food headlines. This week was full of chat about urban farming going mainstream and a little hipster farming backlash. I'm going to start off first on ediblebrooklyn.com. They put out a newsletter every week. They wrote an article or a post titled Williams-Sonoma launches agrarian lime. I actually retweeted it on Twitter, and one of my Twitter followers and guest of Hot Grease said, I don't know how he felt about this, but my thought is Williams-Sonoma definitely is a high-end, I would say a high-end store. They're selling some of the Brooklyn favorites in terms of food or supplies to make beer and all that stuff. So it's not a bad thing, because at the end of the day, I think that we all want the DIY movement to kind of go mainstream, right? We want to make it accessible to everyone. So I'm like totally cool with this. So I say kudos to Williams-Sonoma. Maybe other low cost or discount retailers will follow suit and help some of the small business owners mass produce or either just come up with a scalable way to sell their products. So I'm all for it. I'm glad to see Williams-Sonoma selling agrarian products. Second food headline or headline that mentions food, Die Hipster. Okay, so I saw this. I'm like, what? There's a blog called Die Hipster? Crazy, right? Die Hipster. I have to find the article and read it. So if you're listening now to Heritage Radio Network via podcast or either live, you have to go to diehipster.com. Oh, wow. They have a follow-up. They did a blog post called Hayseeds Open, a Hayseeds store in Brooklyn. And they're mentioning or talking about a pop-up farm supply store that is opening. Friends of the show, friends of Heritage Radio Network, they're all opening up. Brooklyn Grange, Meg Pasca, Gwen Schwartz, who used to manage our rooftop farm here at Heritage Radio Network. They're opening this great spot. But the crazy thing is the comments on here. Basically, this site takes jabs at hipsters. I will say this one thing. There was one thing in this article that I totally agree with. I'm not going to quote it, but I'm going to summarize it because I've said it before on the show and I said it outside of here. I think the problem with hipsters and farming is that sometimes, and I say sometimes, I'm not going to say we because I don't consider myself a hipster. And maybe most hipsters probably don't consider themselves a hipster, huh? They start growing food and start doing bee projects and all these projects. And there's an attitude or a perception as if they are the first to do it. And that is what I have a problem with. And so some of the article kind of touches on that. I think that folks who are doing these great projects in Brooklyn or around the country, the way to solve this problem is to really pay homage to some of the people in these communities that have been doing this forever and a day. So you're talking about in New York City, there are people in New York from Carroll Gardens, Italian immigrants to South Brooklyn to Caribbean immigrants to Harlem, who bring their traditions of growing food or having chickens or what have you, but you really never hear those stories, or you don't hear hipster or all of these Brooklyn farming projects at least trying to connect what they're doing to that. So then you get these crazy articles and people, like, it's like almost 300 comments on this article. You get people making all the comments. Some of the comments are a little mean-spirited, but all in all, the article is freaking funny. So I say to Hey Seeds, congratulations on opening. I'm a supporter of small businesses. Good luck. I'm going to go check you out this week. But maybe there's a lesson in this article in how to better the perception of people who are growing and doing food in New York City or Brooklyn. So that's my two cents. If you ever thought about it, drop me a line, send me a Twitter message. All that good stuff. And finally, this actually happened today. And I'm bringing this up because so many people are on Instagram and they're Instagramming food photos. But today, Facebook announced that they are acquiring Instagram for $1 billion. Instagram is a photo sharing social media network, or more so social media site, that you snap a picture. You have all these cool filters. And you share it amongst people in the Instagram community, and then you can send it out to Twitter and Facebook. But yeah, they're bought by Facebook now. Congrats to them. They're like less than 2 years old. Small team of people came up with a great idea, and $1 billion. How you like me now? So congrats to them. I'm a little scared what Facebook is going to do with Instagram, but oh well, we'll see. Alrighty, folks, there it is. Three food headlines. Many more. If you have food, by the way, if you have any food headlines, always send us an email and I can talk about it here on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
A brand new Knife Show on Hot Grease.
Knife Show. Yep. Love it. Always love Jack and all the great music. You're tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're back. And on the phone today is Michael Twitty to talk his latest project, an Indiegogo campaign called The Cooking Gene. Michael Twitty is a recognized culinary historian, community scholar, and living history interpreter on historic African-American food and folk culture. Michael, welcome to Hot Grease.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. Great to be here.
Yeah, so I have to first start off by saying congratulations. I saw that you were mentioned in the Chicago Tribune as like the 7 food writers to watch.
Yeah. So that's kind of wild. So I'm we did a tweet chat the other day ago on Twitter, and it was remarkable. There was a lot of flurry of activity, and people were really jazzed about it. And I think it's great to have, you know, an African-American presence in food writing, because you would think with as much food as we've produced and contributed to, that we'd have more of a voice. But, you know, we're just starting to make inroads.
True that. So I have to tell you, speaking of African-American food culture, when I think of your name, when I hear your name, I always think of the word antebellum. I think of antebellum. And so, first of all, how do you define antebellum? And give me just a brief history on antebellum cooking as it relates to people of color.
Well, I mean, our whole history as African-Americans, what people stereotypically think of our experience was shaped between, I would say, 1790 and 1860, between the tail end of the 18th century and just before the Civil War. That's when the second largest migration in American history, the first was the slave trade to the Americas, the second was the forced migration of enslaved Africans from one edge of the country to the next. That's how we got to Mississippi, got to Alabama, got to Louisiana, got to Georgia, etc. That shaped our history. So we have a tradition that's based on the quick cooking of African Americans in that period. It's the black eyed peas, it's the greens, it's sweet potatoes. These are the foods that could be laid by while we worked cotton for 16 hours a day. And these were the foods that became the staples of our tradition. So that one pot meal, the barbecue, having cornbread every night, all these things that we think about as part of our culture really go back to this time period in American food history.
And if for folks who have, you know, heard and they understand some of the foods that are directly connected to black people during that time period, can you give us just a quick glimpse into the kitchen, an antebellum kitchen? What did that look like? What equipment was there?
Okay. So if you're talking about somebody cooking in an enslaved person's cabin or home, you are talking about someone who has very little, an iron pot, a Dutch oven, cast iron, all of it, a skillet, a frying pan, that kind of thing, a few wooden spoons, maybe a fork or two, and that's it, a knife to cut things, not a whole lot. If you're talking about the big house kitchen, cooking for the slaveholder and their family and guests, we're talking about 60 to 80 different cooking implements, cooking over an open hearth, a huge fireplace, waffle irons, even brick ovens for baking. It's a really complicated set of materials used to demonstrate that person's wealth and status. But oftentimes when you go to plantation museums, you are led to believe that all the cooking was done by itself. The agency of African people, the agency of enslaved Africans and their descendants is in most cases erased. And that's the reason why I do my work, to show the African hand in the forging of American food.
Speaking of your work, so you are launching, or you've already launched, a project where you are going to go, should I say the antebellum South? To cook. You're calling the Southern Discomfort Tour, which is a part of the cooking gene. Tell us a little bit more about your latest project.
Sure. So we are, as you said before, doing work on Indiegogo to raise money for a project that's happening hopefully with next month through July. At the end of May, we're hoping to leave for Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, the Carolinas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. There are three different prongs to this whole thing. One is my genealogy, my family tree. I'm using food as a means to trace my family tree back through slavery, back to the plantations where my family was enslaved. In some cases, it's going to get me back to 17-something, in some cases 16-something, in some cases only 18-something. But the bottom line is, this is to honor my ancestors. And I call the cooking gene because I feel like there's something in my genetic background, my code, that makes food such a passion for me. It's got to be something in my genes. And we are doing DNA research to connect our family's genes with West and Central Africa. The other part is we want to go to plantation museums and cultural sites and really show people what enslaved people did. So I'll be picking cotton. I'll be working tobacco. I'll be in a rice field. Hopefully I'll be in a sugarcane field as well, because I want our children to understand what it was like. It was not a cakewalk. It was not a picnic. This was real. This was real for 400 sustained years of slavery in the Americas. And I'm also going to be cooking the entire way and doing contemporary cooking and historic cooking and cooking hopefully with some of the people who are descendants of people who enslaved my family.
So when people go to your Indiegogo campaign and donate, will we be able to see a video? Are you going to be blogging every day? Are you doing a video project?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be blogging every day, doing as much video as we possibly can. So every other day there'll be a video posting, and every day there'll be a written posting as people watch us do our thing. I mean, it's going to be pretty exhausting, pretty grueling. And we strongly encourage your listeners to go to Indiegogo and donate. I have to say two or three things about that. Number one, the reason why we're doing this is because there are no independent sources of funding that we can go to and get a project like this put out there. Second of all, somebody else is not going to do it. You have to make that choice to support African Americans who are owning their history and their culture. I have to say that I'm not for strict cultural ownership, but one thing I do have to say is that it's so often the case that non-African Americans can find amazing support when they're talking about slavery in Africa, but African Americans, it's like it's supposed to be a hobby for us, and no, it's not a hobby, it's a job. It's a job to teach and reach others. And we want to make sure people know that this is going to help other African-American folks, people who are food producers, African-American farmers. We want to do community service projects involving young people in these communities in Deep South, which are food deserts that don't have access to healthy food. So this is a project that is both related to racial reconciliation and healing, but on the other side, this is definitely us taking care of our own. So I encourage people to go to Indiegogo, donate. Every single donation gets a perk, a little something, a little gift for you, a little something, a thank you, and we really appreciate it. At this point, we need 400 people to give up Starbucks for a week to make this thing happen. If you can give up, well, not even a week, 3 days. $10 3 days, is that about right?
Oh, and well, yeah. As soon as you walk out the door in New York City, $10 is gone, yeah.
Yeah, $10, and Starbucks is gone in 3 days. If you can give that up, you can make black history.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. When you're back in town, you have to come to the studio.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Listeners, you can find Michael at Afro Culinaria and at thecookinggene.com. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back.
An all-natural Cinco de Mayo celebration this year with Whole Foods Market. We're stocking up on ripe avocados, bright red tomatoes, and juicy limes for you do-it-yourselfers. Not up for mashing, chopping, and mixing? Many of our guacamoles and salsas are made in-house daily. For Cinco de Mayo recipes, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You can check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. So, folks, how was your Passover? How was your Easter weekend? What did you eat? I have a guest in the studio, Kaylin Sanders. We're going to talk more about her project, but how was your Passover and Easter?
Decidedly tame. I actually was recovering from the flu, and I missed out on a lot of really great food, and I kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, I didn't have like the I did have the traditional. I'm you know, I'm so used to Christmas, not Christmas. Why am I saying Christmas? Easter being like really big. It was all. It's really my favorite holiday. Give me Easter over Thanksgiving or even Christmas. I remember getting a bunny rabbit growing up, like a real rabbit. And my birthday was actually on Friday.
Oh, happy belated.
Thank you. So my birthday usually has fallen on Easter before, and this time it was on Good Friday. So this is my time of year, Caitlin. This is my time of year. So for all you folks out there recovering from Easter, Passover, happy recovery. And people who are on spring break, what's up? You know, all my educators or people who decided to take the week off. For vacation. So speaking of vacation, every month here on Hot Grease, I try to let folks know what's going on in terms of food events around the country and particularly around New York City. So I want to share a few. First up is April 17th through the 21st is the St. Croix Food and Wine Experience, which is happening in the U.S. Virgin Islands in St. Croix. I actually will be at the St. Croix Food and Wine Experience. And for anyone who's like sitting at home right now and is like, I want to go out of town, what can I do? Bam, go on the website. Great event. I think that they have been doing it for quite a few years now. There are a lot of chefs from the United States that actually go down there. Last year, Tiffany Derry was there. Then this year you have chefs from Boston, New Orleans, California. They'll all go down to St. Croix and have a good time. So I'm really excited about that. If you go to my website, foodcultures.com, and look on the left side, you'll see a link and you can go straight to the experience and find out more information. So that's happening in St. Croix. Some other cool things that are happening that I'm involved with this weekend is the Bed-Stuy Bar Crawl. This is the second annual. Me and two of my great friends, Alicia Miranda and Clay Williams, both who've been on Hot Grease, we just decided, hey, let's get people together and kind of bar hop in Bed-Stuy. And we're doing the second one this Saturday, 6 to 9. We'll be at Sued, Bedford Hills, and One Last Shack. So we're kind of doing the whole Franklin Avenue, Bedford Avenue thing. So I'm really excited about that. We're getting a lot of buzz, particularly. Caitlin, do you watch Mad Men?
No, I don't.
Okay, so yeah. Last night on Mad Men, they mentioned Bed-Stuy. So
really?
Yeah, I wish they'll do it again, and then we can do like a classic Bed-Stuy bar crawl thing.
Right.
And the other exciting, two other exciting things that are coming up. I think there's one ticket left. I'm doing the donut experience again, or donut crawl. I'm more so calling it an experience instead of a crawl. It's happening on the 28th, and one ticket is left. We're starting at Doe, and we're going to two other spots. All of the locations will have something completely different, different meaning. If you go on there on a regular day by yourself, you won't get what I'm going to give you.
Very nice.
Ding, ding, ding. And last but not least, also this Saturday at One Hanson Place, a.k.a. Skylight. One Hanson.
Yeah.
Which is Skylight.
It's called Skylight One Hanson.
Oh, that's, yeah. Oh.
The actual bank part, vault, is called Skylight One Hanson, but the rest of the building is called One Hanson.
It's the Escape Maker Food and Travel Expo.
Yes.
So we're going to take a short break, and Caitlin Sanders is going to come back and give us all the deets on the Food and Travel Expo. Keep listening. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. This program is being sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So, as I mentioned before, this coming weekend is the annual, second annual, EscapeMakers.com Local Food and Travel Expo. In the studio to kick off the time of year where we all get out of the house is Kaylin Sanders from EscapeMaker.com. You've been on the show before, Kaylin.
Yeah, a couple of times.
So tell me about, first of all, food and travel in New York City, particularly upstate New York City, or you kind of focus outside of New York State, right?
Well, we go really from Vermont to Pennsylvania. That's sort of our radius of where, you know, the amount of time that people will be willing to travel. But actually, this year we're covering at the expo destinations within a few hours. And also we have a whole Made in Brooklyn section for people looking to, you know, for that staycation, just, you know, sort of in their backyard. So we're covering a lot of different places with a special focus on Brooklyn, which is going to be the entire second floor vault.
So what can, I was there last year, so I saw the non-staycations or the stuff that we're in. What can we expect at the by Brooklyn area on the second level?
Oh, you mean outside of Brooklyn? As far
now,
as
what can we expect in the new... by Brooklyn.
Oh, the Made in Brooklyn section.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got
Made
everything from, you know, we've got Brooklyn Winery. We have Brooklyn Pharmacy, Eagle Street Farm. We're really trying to showcase all the farm experiences within Brooklyn as well as restaurants that source locally. And also sort of iconic destinations within Brooklyn that are kind of culinary focused.
Which iconic destinations will be there?
Well, for instance, Brooklyn Pharmacy, which not a lot of people have been to. It's this amazing space that a brother and sister team completely refurbished, you know, original pharmacy details and turned it into an old soda fountain, really, with the soda jerk and the hats, and they make egg creams. And
are they going to be doing egg creams?
Oh,
at the
yes,
expo?
They are.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
They are. Yeah, we'll have we'll have Robicelli's cupcakes, like sort of the new and the old coming together.
Oh, love it. Great idea.
As well as hotels within Brooklyn too that are, you know, really trying to package Brooklyn as that experience. So we'll have Hotel Le Bleu there and Hotel Le Jolie, and really, you know, expose Brooklyn for what it is, this culinary explosion that's happening in Brooklyn, but really ag-focused, agritourism, and painting Brooklyn as an agritourism escape for people.
I mean, I talked about it earlier in the show. I mentioned the die hipster thing, and I mentioned Williams-Sonoma, but both of those things are very telling that the eye is on Brooklyn right
Definitely,
now.
Definitely, yeah. A lot of great things coming out of Brooklyn and people looking to Brooklyn for, you know, the latest and greatest as far as the food movement and where it's going. And so we really, you know, we contacted Brooklyn Tourism and said, look, we really need to focus on Brooklyn this year and get people in the door and realize they can start with what's right outside, you know, their door and then go farther out.
So, and the other vendors that will be there are vendors who have a relation to EscapeMaker.com, because your website really focuses on, hey, I want to get away for the weekend. What can I do? So some of those folks will be
there.
Yeah,
we have all different destinations that are kind of within a day's drive or train ride, we say, because a lot of the destinations that we cover are accessible by mass transit. So, for instance, Amtrak will be there with different specials. But then we also have Zipcar in really, you know, focusing on a sustainable way of getting, you know, getting away. But as I said, we'll have, you know, resorts and retreats, this amazing retreat up in Vermont called Good Commons. It's all sort of culinary focused, actually come down into Manhattan, pick you up in their good bus and take you to Vermont for the weekend and give you a cheese making tour and a wine tasting. They've got a chef on site, you know, everything from that to, you know, full on, you know, destinations like Howe Cavern, sort of those Americana roadside attractions that are, you know, looking to get your summer plans locked in.
I like that uncommon thing. So two questions before we wrap up. So someone who lives out of town, they're coming to New York for a week. Is EscapeMakers.com the place they need to go if they want to, like, get out of New York City?
Well, they'll definitely get ideas on different places they can go, and not just your typical sort of New York City tourist experience. And we're really trying to, you know, unveil those hidden gems within Brooklyn, but also those, you know, destinations within the Catskills or Long Island. We'll have 7 different wineries from the Finger Lakes to Long Island sampling wines, and farms. You pick farms and pumpkin picking. So we have a lot of different things that are sort of go beyond just that New York City touristy experience.
Yeah, we're always, people who live here are always looking for that. And I think folks who are visiting always should think that, you know, you can do something besides go see the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, exactly.
Here.
There's a lot to do. And also, you don't need a car to do it, too. So, you know, we really try and give people a lot of different options of getting out of the city.
So, listeners, escapemakers.com, local food and travel expo is this Saturday, 12 to 5 at Skylight One Hanson in Brooklyn. And what's the cost, Caitlin?
It's $13 at the door. However, we're giving your listeners a special code, Heritage12. If you go online to escapemaker.com/travel expo and put in that code Heritage12, they'll get $3 off.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming by Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. So if you're listening, folks, maybe I'll see you. I'm not sure if I have like 3 things going on Saturday, but I'm going to come by. So listen, definitely check it out.
I'll be there.
Oh, Jack will be there in the place to be. It's right across the street from Atlantic Terminal.
Right.
So it's a great central location. Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 live. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.